Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the other.
In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross.
Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
And good morning to everybody, and thank you for inviting me to share my thoughts around our theme of encouraging one another. Have you ever wondered why, once you have become a Christian, God doesn't just take you off to heaven? After all, if we believe that we're saved by grace alone, in other words, that there is nothing we can do to make God love us more or to make us any more acceptable to him, then why leave us on earth? Once we've secured our place in heaven, why not just die and go there? Why wait? I suspect you haven't thought like that, and of course it's not quite this simple. But it does pose an interesting question, doesn't it? What are we here for? What is God's purpose in keeping you and me here on the earth, if what determines our eternal destiny has already been settled? I believe the answer to this question is key to our understanding of God's good plan for each one of us. It seems to me that our life with God is a journey. It's not just about making a big decision to trust and follow Jesus and then go to heaven when we die. The journey matters. The space in between choosing for God and dying matters. Our lives as Christians are not just about our final destiny, but about the people we grow to be or become in the process. Theologians call this sanctification, the process of becoming the best version of us, of being transformed into the person God created us to be. I wonder how that sounds to you, to become, through God's grace, the best version of you, to become the person God designed you to be. To me, that sounds both exciting but daunting, amazing but impossible. And yet that is God's plan for us, to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. In the book of Romans, Paul tells it like this: we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him, and having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. You can sense the journey in these verses, can't you? God works things together for good so that we can become like his son, so that we can have a right standing before him and we will be given his glory. God's vision for us is that we would be like Jesus, to reflect the love and glory of Jesus. What a calling. The good news is that God doesn't ask us to take this journey alone. In fact, I would suggest we can't take this journey alone. God calls us to be in community. Indeed, God himself is community, Father, Son, and Spirit. And God calls us to be alongside each other. And that's where encouragement comes in. So let's look together at some of the verses in the Bible which talk about encouraging one another. And as we do, ask yourself, what is the point of the encouraging? What is the outcome or the purpose being described? We're going to start in 1 Thessalonians, a chapter before Steve and Sandra. And in 1 Thessalonians 4, we read this. We who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Paul is saying to the Thessalonians, encourage one another. What with? With a reminder that we are going to be with Jesus forever. That's the purpose of the encouragement, to help us remember and live knowing that we are going to be with Jesus forever. If we move on to the next chapter and the memory verse that we've just learnt, Paul says this. He, that is Jesus, died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So again, Paul is reminding them here that we are going to be living with Jesus, and we build each other up by reminding each other of that truth. Further on in the book of Hebrews, we read this verse. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. There's those words again, encourage one another. Why? So that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Further on in the book of Hebrews, we have another verse about encouragement. The writer says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Again, the writer here is linking the encouraging one another. It's about staying focused, about spurring each other on towards love and good deeds. And finally, in the book of Romans, Paul writes, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scripture and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. So here, Paul is talking about the encouragement of the scriptures. Why is it there? To give us hope. So if we look at all these verses together, hopefully in our next slide, thank you. What these verses are telling us, it seems to me, is that the goal of encouraging one another is intimately linked to our journey with God. The outcome or the result of encouragement is to keep going, not be hardened by sin, to remember one day we will be with Jesus, to have our hope in him. It's all about the journey and the vision of who God wants us to be. The goal, therefore, is our spiritual journey or growth, and encouragement is just the tool or one of the mechanisms through which that growth occurs. That's why I started my talk today by thinking about the journey, that the journey matters. It's a bit like learning to drive a car. When you first start, you focus on the controls, about the clutch, how to brake. You grip the steering wheel in the hope you don't crash. You often tend to forget to look ahead, to focus on the road, because you're so concerned with the controls. But actually, the more you focus on the controls, the less steady you drive. You need to focus on the road ahead. In the same way, if our focus is to encourage each other, if we set out feeling we must encourage, if the call to encourage each other becomes another to-do list, the likelihood is we won't achieve all that we could. We may, in fact, discourage rather than help. However, I think if our desire to help each other grow more and more like Jesus, to become the person God created us to be, if that's our focus, then we will find ourselves both being a giver and a receiver of encouragement. Our Christian life is a journey towards wholeness and growth, and encouragement is a means to facilitate that growth, not the end in itself. When I was thinking about the series this summer on the one another's, what struck me is that encouragement is a bit different from the call to love each other or forgive each other that we've already looked at. With love and forgiveness, the act is in the loving or the forgiving. If we love or forgive someone, we will hopefully grow in our journey with God, but the focus is on the act of loving or forgiving. Whereas encouragement, the focus is on the outcome, which again is why I started this talk thinking about our journey with God. We can understand this a bit more by looking at the actual Greek word for encouragement used in the Bible. There are two Greek words used or translated encouragement, and I've just realised that I forgot to ask Derek how I should pronounce this, so here goes. The first is parakilio, and the second one, it's on the screen, paramuthiomai. I'm sure that's completely wrong, but anyway, they're on the screen. They're two Greek words. But do you notice they both start with the prefix para? Para means beside or alongside. So we get, for example, our English word parallel. So parakaleo means to call from alongside, and paramuthiomai means to counsel from alongside. Encouragement, therefore, has this sense of coming alongside of. It means coming close to someone's life, their struggles, their story. Encouragement isn't distance, it's close. It's the voice that says, I can relate to that. I understand. I've been there too. So to encourage one another is to come alongside. As we journey together, as we face the hills and the valleys, the rocky path and the grassy slopes, the quiet waters and the raging sea, we are called to come alongside each other, to encourage each other to keep going, to fix our eyes on Jesus. There are at least two implications of this. Firstly, we are all at different stages of our journey with God. We may have just started out, or perhaps we've been on this journey for many years. We have different personalities. We have to deal with different issues. And that means that encouragement is not one size fits all. What encouragement looks like will be different for each one of us at different times. One talk I came across in preparing for this puts it well. Encouragement has different voices, because what people will need to hear is different in different seasons. Let me read that to you again. Encouragement has different voices, because what people will need to hear is different in different seasons. One person may be worn out and exhausted and need to hear about God's strength. Another may be full of confusion and need to be encouraged to trust God. Someone else may feel so worthless, they need to know how precious they are to God. Another may have stumbled off the path or taken a deliberate detour, and encouragement then is about gently seeking to restore them or to challenge them. Think for a moment about the people around you, your family, your friends, your small group. Where do you think they are on their journey with God? And what about you? Where are you? I think that's why we are all called to be encouragers. Because there will be people that only you can speak to, only you can relate to, only you can identify with. That is one reason my testimonies can be so powerful, because they're about real people, you and me, and the struggles as well as the joys of following Jesus. Telling each other about what that journey with God has been or is like is a key way to encourage them. This means, by the way, that testimonies that focus on the joys and the triumphs but leave out the struggles and the tears can in fact be discouraging, because we need to be real. It also means that just quoting Bible verses as a way of encouraging others is probably not the best place to start. If someone is suffering from anxiety and you simply tell them they should cast their burdens onto Jesus, don't be surprised if they walk away. Or telling a bereaved family that all things work together for good is an insult to their pain. We are called to come alongside, to listen and to be there, to care and empathise before we share anything from the Bible. It's great to share God's word, but be sensitive and prayerful as you do. Recently, I was struggling with a particular situation and I shared it with a friend. She could have quoted scripture at me, for I was harbouring a sinful attitude. To be perfectly honest, I thought she'd agree with me and sympathise with my feelings. Thankfully, she was wise. She listened to my struggle. She understood how hard it was. And then she shared how God had helped her have a different perspective in a similar situation. God then used that to help me see my need to repent and to ask him to give me a different attitude. So encouragement has different voices at different seasons. Secondly, encouragement has to come from a place of humility and authenticity. We can only encourage others as we are real before God with ourselves. And often we won't even be aware that we have been an encouragement to others. One of the most powerful moments of encouragement to me was a few years ago, when one of my friends was going through a very dark and tough time. I was sitting beside her in church and we were singing a worship song, I think about God's goodness. And I noticed that my friend was really worshipping and praising God. You could see from her face that she was being real and authentic, that she was truly praising God in the midst of her darkness, despite the pain I knew she was feeling. That was, and still is, an inspiration and a massive encouragement to me. And yet, she wasn't in that moment trying to encourage me, or even actually aware of me. So God can use us to encourage others as we seek to be real and humble before him. And this, to me, is the real core of encouragement. We can only ever be encouraging to others as we look to God, because it's actually God who is doing the encouraging. We are just the vessels. In Romans 15, Paul puts it this way: "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's why I asked if we could read Philippians 2 before my talk, because it's about our Lord Jesus and how he came down to earth for us. This is the wonder of our faith, isn't it? We're called to work this journey with God, not a journey to God. We have a Saviour who became a baby and walked this journey himself. He walked with the pain of rejection, loneliness, homelessness. He was misunderstood. He was hated. He was betrayed and finally unjustly condemned and cruelly killed. We can walk the path because Jesus himself has already been there, and he is now alongside us. It is no coincidence that the Greek word most often used for the Holy Spirit, paraclete, has the same derivative as the Greek word for encouragement, parakaleo, that we saw earlier. We can encourage others, we can come alongside others only through the grace of Jesus walking alongside us. So let's keep looking to Jesus, keep your eyes on him, and he will use you to be an encourager to others. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, we are so grateful that you didn't just stay in heaven, but that you came down to earth. You humbled yourself. You took on the form of a servant. You walked that path with us, Lord, and that you are walking it now because you didn't stay dead. You rose again. You are the risen Lord. You gave us your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we can look to you. We can know your grace and your strength. And we pray that in doing that, you would truly let the encouragement of your Spirit flow through us to those around us. For your name's sake, Amen.